Welcome to Course in Miracles. Let's get some correction on. Let's get some right thinking on. Let's get some light on. Let's get some warmth where there's cold, light where there's dark. Yeah, right? Let's have some hope. Let's start with that. Okay, tonight, you know what we do here is we bust the ego. Number one goal. The truth takes care of itself. The truth is always waiting for you if you just get the lies out of the way. If you just stop the fantasy and the ego, the truth's there. It's always there. It's waiting. So that's our first goal, is to bust the ego. Get it out of the way.
Yes. Excuse me. And the ego, I just want to throw this in. You might refer to this later in your talk. Mm. The ego, when you try to get to busting it,
yeah,
it's going to get busy.
Yes.
It's going to throw stuff at you. You're going to project shit. It's going to really involve your mind.
Yes, indeed.
And it's... as if it were fighting for its very existence.
In me, indeed.
If it existed.
Yep.
And so it's mainly a concept which is going to deny its own annihilation.
Yep.
At all costs.
Yep. Just like a habit. You try not to do something that you've done every single day.
Perfect.
It comes up automatically. You think, wait, I didn't mean to do that again.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a dirty habit.
It's a dirty habit. Yeah. Nothing more than that. Mm-hmm. Just a habit.
All right.
Yeah. Pattern, we're going to bust. And so, tonight, let's look at one of the ego's favorite tools to keep you circling in your little private hell. Let's look at one of the world's methods that works so conveniently to hold you in your own hell. Story. What is a story? You know, the ego, naturally and innocently, will fill in. Something happens in your life, and you try to make sense of it. Naturally. And if you're listening from the ego, then it will take all your past learning and try to put things together to make this make sense. And if you are on a spiritual path, your ego will even co-opt your spiritual journey and intentions and come up with a reason why this thing happened. A reason. Telling a story to make it all make sense. And probably your ego's going to give you a story on how it was unfair and you should fight back, or you should feel sorry for yourself, or you didn't deserve it, or you did deserve it and it's about time they caught up with you, or whatever.
Or people suck.
People suck. People just suck. And then
I don't know where I got that.
We gotta bust the story. We have to look at this, because this is when the Course says that the ego speaks first and speaks loudest. It's filling in all of these little details to try to make everything okay. Innocently enough, and that's why what's wrong with the ego? He's trying to make everything okay. But the problem is the ego, were successful, everything would be okay here just the way it is. And you were afraid for a good reason, and you should fight for a good reason, and your swearing is probably the only way you can be honest, etc., etc. We're here to bust that. Because when you get violent, when you fight back with the world, you make more of the world for all of us to deal with. And you too! You won't sleep as well, and neither will I. If you get upset, you get your revenge. If you feel too sorry for yourself. All these things are just ways that the ego makes the world more and more. And darker and heavier. With maybe a break here and there. But
so,
you know,
so does ego work more with emotions?
Yes. The emotions are only evidence of what you believe. So it's all thought. But emotions are the evidence of what you believe. Showing itself. Now, the ego is going to take an emotion and put some more comments on that.
An emotion is like the justification for what you believe.
There it is. Coming back around and telling you that you should be worried or that you should be happy, isn't it? But the emotion is now supporting the thought. And now the thought is supporting the emotion, and you've created what the Course calls another layer. The onion now has another layer. And all your life you've been putting layers on this onion, isolating yourself from a true thought, a present thought, all colored from your past. Yeah. Stories filling in the gaps. Stories with all the answers. Stories with more questions. So what I want you to do before we start tonight's reading is just take a look at that. Take a look at how the mind does that. How the mind jumps in when you're just trying to live your honest life and it fills in with a story. Try to feel that little tool there. We'll talk through it a bit. Let's get our hands around it before we get into tonight's reading. Do you do that? Do you tell yourself stories to make sense of things? Fill in the parts you don't know so that you do know. Why do you do that? What's your motivation to fill in the things that you don't know, you don't understand? What do you get out of telling yourself the story to fill in the details? The section in the book that we're working on right now is calling out the ego's big structure of separation and the adjustment that you have to make with your mind in order to have this crazy world be your home. And makes sense. And tonight we're looking at the story. Stories that we're apt to tell ourselves to make it all make sense. This little tool that the ego uses. Anybody want to share their story? Do you find something in your life before we... I'm not going to make go around the room with this one. Hi, Julie.
I'm dealing with one right now. Going down to the county.
Yeah.
And I have an appraiser something on my VA loan, and he put down that I have to tear out my plumbing downstairs, which is bogus.
Okay.
So pissed me off. I'm fucking pissed off, Royal.
Okay.
So I have to go down to the, you know, call my sister up the phone because she's more familiar with that stuff. So I got to go down the steps, so get all the information I need, you know, and to try and get this to change. So I got found the permit they used and showing that we redid all the plumbing and everything was, you know, okay. So, but now you find it straightened out, but you still got all this stuff going on in your head. What might happen or might not happen. It's like all the ego crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what might happen. Yeah. There's a story. A bunch of stories along the way.
So I have all this stuff, and it happened from the last time I was down there.
Uh-huh.
Go down, and then half of it's bogus because they don't... Well, whoever said something last time was totally different this time.
Uh-huh.
They go on, well, yeah, so there was no permits in 1949, 1951.
Yep.
It was all started in 57 and maybe a couple in 55, so there's no permit whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying no permit. Well, you didn't give out permits
until
later in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So all this stuff. So every time you go down there, it's another story, so the ego throws in a brand new story.
Yep. And by the way, as you were going along with the permits, no permits, were these stories of inconvenience and at cost and expense? Or were they stories about how the county was going to come over, give you a hug and say, you know, David?
No, it's the expense and all that stuff that you always see. You always see the negative when you go down there. What are they going to do to me?
Red tape, the bureaucracy.
Yeah,
and it was somehow comforting. And you did this to yourself. You told me these stories of gloom and doom and expense and cost.
Yeah, but when the truth is, quite as bad as the last time I was there, because at the same time I was going, stop it.
Good.
But I was doing this shit, and I'm going, okay, it's got to be, let's go get what they want and look at it and see if they come up with it. So I just kind of.
It's kind of natural, isn't it? If you're standing in line and the person ahead of you is in tears because they just said, air it out, and you're next. So it's kind of natural to say, well, they're going to do it to me, and this is really going to hurt. Isn't it natural in this world to tell yourself a story of loss? Isn't it somehow strangely a defense against the world?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did we do that? Yeah.
It feels like if I come to grips with the worst possible case scenario, then somehow I've already emotionally prepared for it.
Yeah.
And so anything that happens that isn't that is somehow better.
That's pretty reasonable to me. And you could open a counseling service to help people face their fears. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
But it has a cost, this storytelling. Constantly going on and judging for yourself the nature of the world and your experience before it happens. Lesson 135 says, if I defend myself, I am attacked. So you're defending yourself and being attacked as the line advances and advances for a half an hour. You're defending yourself in your mind, therefore you're being attacked in your mind, and your battle is waging in your mind. And you get to the counter, and they say, oh, welcome, David. Oh, 1947? No problem. We didn't have permits back then. Or you found a piece of paper 3 months later. Okay, David, thanks. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, actually, when I left, I was happy.
Yeah.
But they had a couple of cool solutions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, the ego, after a while, well, I want to throw some other stuff. But they may just, you may get, so you're getting both. Yeah.
You know what happens to me, too? I'll tell myself this story. Yeah. I got an audit letter from the IRS. I'm like, oh, so all the stories, right? And right. Then, you know, they did the analysis and came back and they said, you know what, we're going to get you on this one. You either get a lawyer and tell us how we're wrong, or you pay $65.
That's a choice.
What'd you give?
My story. Are you offering your services at the lawyer? My story was so much worse than $65. I could have ran and just kissed him and said, here's $66. Thank you.
Yes.
God, I couldn't even figure out what it was that I could have done wrong. Somebody spent a lot of money finding $65.
You didn't argue it on principle then, huh?
I did not.
Well, you know, when I was down there, I was going, oh, it's all these, I'm going to have to get this paper, that on this, so I was looking, how's it going to cost? There it goes, $1.
Right?
$1? You got to be kidding me. It's like, $1. And I go to another place, they want a permit, copies of permits. How much does this cost? Nothing. It's all free.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
I guess
we'll give you when I go get the permit or something. But it's like, I didn't have to pay nothing. I was like shocked.
Yep. That happens, and I say to myself, you know, bad things just don't have to happen.
Yeah.
Plenty of bad things do happen, but they don't have to happen. So if you don't know, do yourself a favor. Tell yourself a positive story that you also don't know. It could be bad. Mm-hmm. But it might be free.
Yeah.
It might be $65. So, storytelling. Stories.
So I have a story.
Yeah.
It's my life story, actually.
Oh. Here we go.
So I taught myself when I was very young that if I was really nice to people and made them feel good, they would love me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then every time I was nice to somebody and they would say something, I'd say, well, how come they did that? Because I was just loving them. But then I figured, okay, there's a reason they're not doing this, they're not doing that. But I kept expecting it, and then I'd get hit with, it's not true, I mean, not true in this instance. Mm-hmm. So what I'm learning now is, it's not true in any instance, it's just a story I made up.
It's a story.
And I have to give that story up, because I'm
yes.
working on it really hard.
Yes.
It, every time it comes in my head again, and then it happens again, I say, okay, Luann, this is about them, it's not about you, and you're mm-hmm. making up a story about them, and it's not necessarily going to be the right story.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well give it up.
You might as well give it up. Making a story that affects you. Mm-hmm. You've already admitted.
Oh, wait, there's a final thing.
Okay.
And when the story doesn't work, then it must be my fault for believing the story.
Guilty, huh?
I'm guilty.
Some guilt to go around?
Yeah.
The course says, would you not look back at your life and notice how many times you made your own life miserable?
Absolutely. I wouldn't prefer to do that. I wouldn't prefer to look back. And thank God I'm getting old enough, I'm forgetting a lot of those times.
Even when you were right, something bad was coming. It doesn't come the same way that you imagined. Even though it was not good, it wasn't the same bad as you were expecting. So you really... And then you go back even further. Let's go back 10 years ago. You can't even remember the stuff you were so worried about 10 years ago that was just, oh no, you're biting your fingernails. You don't remember it today. So which is more true? Back then when you were worried, or now when you're not, and you don't even remember? And yet still here you are. You need to bust the ego on the value of its stories. Because we're going to walk away from the ego. You can still be in the world without being a follower of the world's ways. It's a gentle way.
You know, sometimes when I'm looking at a problem like that, I feel like some of the bigger problems you have to like get a bunch of stuff out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like you're not quite, you're looking like to the edge of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting that feeling sometimes, like I'm not quite looking at the problem correctly, or it's the edge of it.
Yes, yes.
And something's kind of like making you look over here, but it's
yes.
right there.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of like, you're getting that feeling like, yeah, what to do, like something's not quite right.
Yes, and this is where being able to step back from the edge, step back, let the Holy Spirit in you see the bigger picture that you cannot see.
Yeah.
This is the trust that we talked about earlier.
Yeah, and that's usually because somehow I'm looking like I'm not quite asking it for the answer correctly. Or
you're too close. You're too invested. Yeah. You're too invested. That's why you're not allowed. A surgeon is not allowed to operate on his own kids, his own family members. They're just going to overthink it. They're too close. You're too close to you.
Yeah, and that's actually, if you think about it, that's what happened. I start thinking about too much.
Yep.
Me and Stephen were talking about that. We'll get close to something, and then you start thinking about too much, and then you're...
Complicated.
You're making the problem worse by doing what the shrinks tell you to do, which you're not supposed to do, by, let's analyze the hell out of this problem.
Yep. You're literally making the problem worse by putting stories on it and around it.
But that was sneaky. Yeah. You look at it wrong that way, you get right to the edge, you feel like your ego's being real sneaky.
Yep. Yep.
I'm starting to catch them.
You bet. And the ego will come up with an answer on how to solve something very quickly. A lot of times by saying something or paying something or arguing or calling them out. Usually what it does, we learn in chapter 16, is that one of the ego's favorite maneuvers is while you're right in the middle of a difficulty, to bring in something else that's worse. To make you feel better. And make the other person more guilty. And then this problem you have currently will just get smaller, maybe. Oh! Isn't that just making it worse?
Yeah. Can we give an example of that?
Yeah. Let's say you and I are in the kitchen, and once again, you caught me putting the pizza sauce in the Tupperware. Now, you've asked me very nicely. Says, Andrew, it stains the Tupperware. I can never get it out. It's red. See the red Tupperware? That's because of you, Andrew. I say, Well, that's true. Yeah. And I'll say, well, now we're on the topic of kitchen behavior. I'll say, Leah, what about you drying your tennis shoes in the microwave? It stinks like running shoes. And I'm cooking my breakfast in there. Can you please stop doing... Now, you're going to have to defend yourself. We were talking about the Tupperware and the pizza sauce. And I got you onto the microwave and the tennis shoes. Oh, see how clever the ego is? Bring it up something else. So, say again?
Fragmentation.
Yep. We'll just break up this discussion into more and more fights. And oh, good maneuver. It's just not, this is not a holy relationship. Holy relationship, this is the healed relationship. Stays in the present. And in the present, we got Tupperware. You haven't done the shoe thing for weeks. I had Tupperware today. I got the piece of sauce in there now. We can stay present. And talk about Tupperware and pizza sauce and whether or not we're going to go to glass or get your own Tupperware, Andrew, just for pizza sauce. But we're going to stay present rather than maneuver and tell more stories at other times. Busting the ego is what we're going to do. Yes?
I feel like staying in the present is a little bit scary. The ego tells me that I need to be thinking about what could happen or might happen. And then if I'm not, I'm putting myself in danger.
Yes.
And so when I am really just focusing on the present and not allowing future and past thoughts to come in, it feels a little uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yeah. Like I might be like missing.
Perfect. That's perfectly honest. And this is exactly the time when we need to know that we are abandoning a whole way of life. You're still not going to do something stupid for your as a mother, as a woman, as a person. You're going to stay present in the world, but the key here is you have to let go of the idea that you know what's going to make you happy or why somebody did what they did. When you're uncomfortable, when something has gone wrong, you're not asked to no longer live in the world, in your body. That dream you can run as long as you want, as many times as you want. The key here is that we will take moments out of our lives, step back from actually identifying and being that body that has that problem. Just moments, Cecily, is all it takes to be present. Take a breath and say, maybe I don't know why this is happening. You see, because the minute you do that, new options open up. The Holy Spirit can whisper here and there and say, just wait one more day. Holy Spirit will do that. Holy Spirit will say, be quiet. Or the Holy Spirit might say, you know exactly what to do. You practice your speech. Just say it. That'll happen too. But because you've stepped back out of the heat of the ego, the peace of the Holy Spirit gets one breath. That's all it needs. It gets one cycle in your mind of peace. When I say peace, what I mean is that feeling you get when you do the workbook and it makes sense. And you say, ooh, I like this lesson. I want to do it an extra minute. If you're not doing the workbook, do the workbook and find this moment. This is what I mean by peace and understanding and a sense of embrace that there is a power greater than your ego. That's what I'm talking about, that peace. Kim?
Yeah, I recently found myself making up stories while underneath it knowing fully well that I am fine and all of the chaos that I am generating up here is just up here, but underneath I'm still knowing everything is okay and this is completely unimportant. But then at some point they don't meet, but it muddies the water if I hang on to that too long.
Yeah.
And I watch it happen. Yeah. And it's interesting. I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could always feel, and I think, in a sense, I always do feel that peace within me, but it just gets veiled by the clutter and the clatter in my brain.
You know? You bet, naturally. Mm-hmm. So you're working on becoming adept at living in a body with difficulties of the body, and yet knowing the peace of the God, the peace of spirit.
Yeah, because the world is really a difficult place to maneuver through. I mean, we have this peace and this light within us.
Yes.
But we still live in this crazy world. And,
yes.
You know, so it sometimes gets too noisy.
Yes. The world, it absolutely is a difficult place to maneuver. Mm-hmm. Make no mistake about it. Mm-hmm. And it will continue to bring that. Until it doesn't, and it continue to bring it, and the way to weather it is to find in you that place we talked about, mm-hmm. and be able to face the things you still have to do in the world, as long as you're still breathing, mm-hmm. without fear. Mm-hmm. Without fear. And then you just do them, because it's the best you can do at that moment, it's the right thing to do, as far as you can figure out. Problem is, with all these stories and worries, the fear makes it suffering rather than just painful. The world has to be painful. It's designed to be that way. You built it and hired it to do that, and it's doing a great job. And it's not actually a problem. The world's not a problem. So it will continue to run its course. The script is written, and you're going to live your life for as long as you do. We're here to correct your experience of it in your mind, mm-hmm. where it unnecessarily hurts. Mm-hmm. We call that suffering. Much, much comes out of this. Yes?
I'm not sure if this is the same thing you were talking about as far as having a moment for the Holy Spirit to come in, but I've made the observation that me being sort of an asshole and me being something better is like, there's a difference of like 30 seconds. Like, if I can wait 30 seconds or a little more,
yes.
Typically I can see past my initial story or perception and be a little bit more expansive or generous or something of that nature. Is that sort of what you're talking about?
Yes. Making room for the... It's actually love, Matt, that's in you being squelched by the fear, which comes out as anger and big talk and all sorts of stuff. Mm. Understanding is waiting to be called on, but understanding is very confident and very patient and very quiet. Yes. Now there's we can read a little bit about that. Turn to page 617 in the text. Been a while since we've been here.
Is that in the back?
In the front.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a great section that really hits what we're talking about, some of what Matt just described. You know, it's not, let's just read this section. You ready to go, David?
Yeah, number one?
Yep.
Seek not outside yourself. Seek not outside yourself, for it will fail, and you will weep each time an idol falls. Heaven cannot be found where it is not, and there can be no peace excepting there. Each idol that you worship...
Now there being heaven. And heaven is a code word for understanding, for knowledge. We can't say that. You know, we're going to put a pretty word on it, heaven. You know. But please continue.
Each idol that you worship when God calls will never answer in his place.
In an idol that you might worship when God calls, it might be that you, an idol might be something like anger or righteousness, where you use the big talk and try to straighten somebody out who's just not been paying attention to how good you've been. That's a story. It's an idol of correcting them. Please continue.
Or it could be like a story of somebody. You have somebody you think they should be a certain way.
Yep. You know, that's right. Yeah. A judgment that you think you're right.
Yeah. That was great. When I finally realized that was what that was, that really helped a lot. Just, oh, wow, got rid of all that.
Yeah, and it blocks understanding what the person is actually going through. So you can actually be there and join with them with love. It's the opposite of love. Please continue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There is no other answer you can substitute and find if the happiness his answer brings. Seek not outside yourself, for all your pain comes simply from a futile search for what you want, insisting where it must be found. What if it is not there? Do you prefer that you be right or happy?
That's an honest question there. That's one to take into meditation.
Yeah, my partner's answer to that was, I asked that question.
Yeah.
It's actually a tough one.
He said, to be right is to be happy.
He says, I'm happy when I'm right. Says the Before A Course in Miracles, that's right. I'm happy when I'm right. That's when I'm happy. And if I'm wrong, I'm not happy.
Mm-hmm. But if you're right and you're not happy, you have right then the justification to say, well, look at what I sacrificed to be right, and everyone else is wrong, and anything they say is going to be my cross to bear.
If you're right and you're not happy, and you've decided to keep that, you will now keep being unhappy. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right, and I'm not happy, I know I'm wrong.
Yes, it's a cost of following the ego's attack.
Whenever I catch myself being right, you know, you try and go right it and make it, switch it to a miracle or something, but if I can do that, it's pretty powerful, because when I was younger, you always want to be right all the time, and you realize it's something big and you can do the opposite, it's like pretty cool.
Yeah. There's a cost to that being right just for being right's sake. Yeah, and making another person wrong.
Yeah, I always thought it was, oh, that's the best thing, the happy thing. And when I looked at it, it was, oh, shit, this is not happy, this. It was a big shock.
Yeah. Now, of course, the miracle says there's another way to go about this. Because in the world, you have to fight your way and be right. The mother has to be right with the kid. Got to convince them that it's not that you're running in the street with scissors. Running with scissors in the street.
In traffic.
In no traffic, shoes. At night, with no shoes, and without a jacket in the winter, you're going to catch cold. It's the worst situation. You got to be right sometimes. Of course, the miracle says, fine, you're still going to do what you're going to do in this world, but you will decide before you do it what this is for. You get in a habit of this with your Course in Miracles training. It comes after a while. You wonder, how can I do this? How can I make this work? You'll learn. And there's a section.
Page 366,
where it actually asks you to look at setting the goal. It's called setting the goal, that section. Before you do things, you get in the habit of deciding, I just want to be happy. I want love in my life. And that course says that as you give, you receive. So how can I give love to this stinking SOB who's making my life difficult? That might be how it goes. But because you want love, because you want peace, because you'd rather join than fight, because you'd rather be happy than right, you might end up being right and happy. But your goal is first, happiness. And in this horrible world...
So the insistence on being right is really kind of like an ego ploy.
It's an ego ploy. And that's what he's pointing out here. Mm-hmm. Being right, making somebody else wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's talking about.
That's why it's a tough one.
You betcha.
Another thing I noticed about this is, like, once you start noticing it and then you realize that when you start doing it, it'll happen.
Yes.
It's like, whoa, this is, every time it happens, it turns into a disaster. Like, before you thought it wasn't, but now I notice, well, that's kind of screwed everything up again, because I was trying to be right.
Yeah.
And now it's like, well, this is really a disaster. So you feel like, well, I go backwards, but no, it's because you're being, I find I'm being more aware of it.
Yes.
But yeah, it's...
And taking those pauses for 10 seconds, it's huge, because you're not defending yourself for 10 seconds, you're not attacking the other person for 10 seconds, you're not stirring it up for 10 seconds. You might just be taken back and breathing. It changes the whole dynamic. Yeah, it's huge. It is what you're doing, unhooking the ego from following all its past learning, where it knows exactly how to attack somebody. We're not going to do that now, at least for 10 seconds. And they might say, well, the fact is, Matt, I didn't mean to do that.
Well, what you could do is actually, if you're going to do that, once you feel like emotion coming on, temporize. And what I mean by temporize is just say something neutral while you get your mind together in 30 seconds. Don't just stop. Don't stop talking. People won't know how to. They'll think you're either pissed off or not knowing what to say.
Yeah.
But just say something, you know, just to keep the conversation ball rolling while you're able to kind of get back on your balance.
Just don't follow your ego's attack message.
Right.
You might even say something as bold and as courageous as this. Tell me more about how you feel. The ego says, you don't want to hear more of that shit. They're wrong. They'll think that they're winning if they get to describe more. No, it's the opposite will happen. But the ego will not afford that. But
perfect. That's what I'm talking about.
But yeah, and then it buys the whole situation. Just the peaks and valleys come out a little bit, so it just spreads out. Now, let's continue.
I've been trying to practice not thinking that I can assume to know what's going on with the other person that I'm dealing with.
Beautiful.
Because they will attack my ego by pointing their finger at me.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so if I were so ingrained, we're so taught to defend ourselves and defend our ego and justify that we're okay and that we're not wrong, that if by not saying something, which is sort of a place I've found is better than fighting back, because it doesn't create as much separation, but it still creates that separation because you're still not doing anything, but in your mind, you're wishing you could or do something, and it almost feels like you're being walked on because you're not defending yourself, because we're taught to defend ourselves and stand up for what we think is right.
Yes.
And so, but both solutions don't work.
Nice.
And I haven't figured out how to get to that place yet of peace. I understand all the parts of it,
yes,
but I still can't get to that place where I don't walk out the door at night feeling like they just, you know, walked all over me.
Yep. Here's where it really takes courage, Kim. You got your finger right on it. Your happiness needs to become more important than your mental peace of being right. This...
More important than ego gratification.
Thank you. Perfectly said. Mm-hmm. More important than ego gratification has to be your current happiness now. And when you start... If somebody once asked me, describe what Course in Miracles does for me. What does it do? Why do you study this book? And at that point, I was going through one of these things, and it was helping me. And I realized, Course in Miracles has taught me that my peace is not for sale for ego gratification or any other reason. I'm just going to stay peaceful. Even though this looks really bad, and you really shouldn't have said what you said. I mean, you couldn't have meant that. But I'm going to stay peaceful anyway. And because I do that, my life is kind of evened out. People don't want to fight me, and I don't want to fight them. Things still happen. We end up talking them out, settling things out, but it's just less aggravating and scary. Because I just rather be happy, even as I get walked on, But you know what? Like 10 years ago, I don't even remember what it was like to be walked on. All I remember is being happier that day. And happier today. Knowing that if I choose happiness, I get happiness. Even though my ego says, I got a boot print for that. That ego's dead and gone. It's pretty courageous, you know. But you'd be surprised how powerful it is. How much stronger of a life to live. When your peace is first. Your happiness is first. And then being right is second. Yeah.
I'm just learning. Mm-hmm. From something you've said to me. What I figured out for myself is if I take those seconds and say, I don't know the answer, I don't know what to say, and the Holy Spirit does, and if the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me what to say, then there really isn't anything to say. Mm-hmm. And that kind of gives me a sense of peace. It feels like, okay, I'm not responsible for this, and I don't have to come up with an answer.
That's right. It's not a wasted moment. Just because you didn't say anything, what happened was is you backed off. And that's huge. That's huge. The Holy Spirit is working with you every moment when you step back and say, Holy Spirit, how shall I handle this? I do not know. Yeah. And if nothing happens, that's a great way to handle a lot of things. Probably most.
Jesus.
You know, most problems do solve themselves, don't they? How many times you worried about something and it never came about? It just never happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially the way you thought. And none of them happened exactly what you thought. Like zero. And the ones that did turn out, they did this differently. It happened differently, but it happened and a lot of them solved themselves. So stop taking life so seriously and just choose your happiness first. Learn how to choose your happiness first. And the Course in Miracles lessons will do this with you. To have you choose your happiness first and know that it is your inheritance of what you really are. So it's not as hard as you think.
But it's more like, well, this isn't my problem, it's the Holy Spirit's problem. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't tell me what to do, then that's...
Then that's what he does.
That's the Holy Spirit's job.
That's the Holy Spirit's job. And he's saying, do nothing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, Holy Spirit.
Okay, if that's all I'm supposed to do, I can certainly live with that one.
You bet.
So where is that referred to, do you know, like in the text, what you're talking about now?
Page 298 and page 660.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, in fact, if you want, we can go to, let's go to page 660 this time. We're going to come right back here, are we?
What page?
I think we really should come back here to this page. Yeah. Go to page 660. Just 30 pages to the right. Good night, Cecily.
Good night.
You could have back off, Jack. There's also one, lesson 155. I will step back and let him lead the way. The three examples, three places.
Cool.
And let's see. Can we skip that paragraph? Yeah. We just go right to the italics, right in that paragraph. Read those italics for us, John.
Excuse me. I do not know the thing I am, and therefore do not know what I am doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or on myself.
Do you know what you are? I mean, really know?
No idea.
No idea.
I have an idea.
You do have an idea.
I have an idea.
Oh.
But that's just it's not it. That's a way of saying no.
Do you have the truth? Do you actually know? An idea is not knowing. I mean, this is 660 pages in. This is something that, at this point, you might be ready to meditate on. Do you actually know what you are?
Well, love, right?
All right.
Isn't that the message of the book?
Isn't that the message of the book?
But yeah, the question, though, is, what does love mean for me as being who I am?
Well, it's
I don't know what love is.
There you go. That's it. Do you know what you are. Do you know of love? Or could you think of love? Do you hope of love? Have you heard the rumor of love? Mm-hmm. You've heard, you sang the song of love, but do you know?
Sometimes you are I know.
Good.
Not most of the time, but sometimes I know. And those sometimes, I don't ever go away. They just get covered.
They get covered. Beautiful. That's that's how the healing is occurring. Now that you own that. And you will own it for all of your existence. Mm-hmm. And you always have. Mm-hmm. But they get covered so easily. Mm-hmm. And so we're just learning. We're learning how to get out of that habit. It's just a habit of covering over the love that you are.
Mm-hmm. Right. Isn't love just non-separation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the happiness and the peace you're referring to?
Yes.
And just feeling really non-separate.
And what's hidden is that your identity, your true identity, what you really are, is that very love. You don't feel love.
You are love.
You don't give love or get it. You are it. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't make sense in this world. You as a separate being.
Now this is no, there is no statement that the world is more afraid of to hear than this.
Yes.
It's right before the statement.
Yes.
So we're actually lovers in training.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just being woken up.
Trying to remember that we're lovers.
Yeah, it's more like we're children being woken up from a nightmare. Yes.
So that part was from I'm not a body. The scariest statement of saying I'm not a body.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no,
I don't know the thing I am.
Just reading the sentence before the italics.
Yeah, page 660. Yep. Paragraph 17, sentence 6, there is no statement that the world's more afraid to hear than this. I don't know the thing I am. Therefore, I don't know what I'm doing, where I am, or how to look upon the world or on myself because I don't know what I actually am. I don't know what's looking. Whew. I mean, there's a huge amount of peace that comes over with that surrender. With that awareness that your concept of yourself is in the way of knowing yourself, you can just let it go for a few moments. Ah, you breathe easy. It's really great. Look at the next sentence. It says, yet in this learning, those italics, is salvation born, and what you are will tell you of itself. But you gotta back off, Jack. You know another place it says it? Is page 389, I think, in the section of I Need You Nothing. And it ends. It's all these beautiful words, right? All these pretty poetic words, and it says, but unless you can get yourself out of the way, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. So a bunch of places. Okay. Let's go back to page 617 and read another paragraph. It's really fun stuff.
17.
Mark, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
6.
617 in the text.
No one who comes here but must still have hope, some lingering illusion or some dream that there is something outside of himself that will bring happiness and peace to him. If everything is in him, this cannot be so. And therefore, by his coming, he denies the truth about himself and seeks for something more than everything, as if a part of it were separated off and found where all the rest is not. This is the purpose he bestows upon the body, that it seek for what he lacks and give him what would make himself complete. And thus he wanders aimlessly about in search of something that he cannot find, believing that he is what he is not.
In other words, a story. Mm-hmm. Tells himself a story that the answer is in making the body happier and happier, and get other happy bodies to make this happy body. Or if you're unhappy, find somebody else who is happy. When you're unhappy, then you'll be happy. Substitute. But problem is, you give them your unhappy body with their happy body to make you happy. What do they get?
Buy me again,
they get an unhappy body. I'll give you the part of me I don't like. You give me the part of you that I do like, and then you will get the part of me I don't like, and somehow we'll be happy. I'll trade you what I don't want, the parts of you that I do. What a tricky, tricky trade.
I just don't understand what that's referring to.
What it's referring to is a special relationship in this world. It's the negotiation, if you will, that I will love you.
Yeah.
As if. Well, I got my little list
right. It's a conditional effect.
Okay. Exactly. It's conditional. Which makes so much sense in this world. You don't want to love the wrong person. You know what a pain in the neck that is?
So you have to validate them through the process of...
That's the world. That's the world. And that's not how. That's not what love is.
Yes, our special relationship basically is with the world.
Yep. Makes the world.
That's what friends are for.
That's what friends are for.
Yes. That's right. In this context.
We're here to bust the ego in all of its ways to substitute for love. Real love. Doesn't mean you can't play in the world with the world's level of love and enjoyment. That's fine. But you'll be waking up now. You will no longer suffer when it doesn't come through. Because you won't be expecting it to be the love of God. That just means the love of truth. You can let it be the love of the world. You can have all your relationships. And you can have all your things that live and die and argue and fail and lie and everything else and get drunk and whatever else they do. But you will now understand. You'll keep them at the right level. It's a whole different way of living, folks, but it's really a relief to not be asking the ego to do God's work. It's a real relief. Okay, so now let's...
That's a good one, man. Don't ask the ego to do God's work.
What's ego stand for? Edging God out.
Oh, jeez. I like that one. That's good.
She's a tricky little thing. All right. Okay, let's jump to tonight's reading. Unless somebody's dying to tell us their story making, that the lies they tell themselves to make life better. If you're dying to tell your story, tell us. Otherwise, let's go look at this.
I am.
All right, bring it. Vomit it all out. The whole adjustment to make the world work.
It is. It's been tough. In having to deal with an animal, I don't know, someone just mentioned animal special relations. Anyways, having to make a decision to euthanize.
Yeah. Good one.
And it's been back and forth and back and forth. And yes. Yes, and I know what I need to do. And then it's
yes.
All the stories from
yes.
From Hitler.
Yeah.
Hitler didn't have a problem euthanizing, you know, fucking civilization.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I can't do one critter.
Yeah.
And it's just like from,
yeah.
It is ripping me apart.
Yes. So.
Yes.
I had put my last dog to sleep, and he had dementia, and he was going crazy with it. And I asked a bunch of people, and they were all telling me this, that, and everything. And finally, I called my niece, who was a veterinarian in Sacramento. And she said, that animal has loved you, but you consider unconditionally all its life. And she said, and now it's your turn to be the adult and do what it needs. And I thought, okay, that means I need to let him put to sleep. Because I don't want him to suffer with me.
Mm-hmm. And you've had these thoughts.
Well, it's at that point of where do you draw the line? You know, yeah. Suffering, do they go a little longer? Do they, yeah. You know, where do you draw the line? And am I playing God in that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you want this the gentle, peaceful way? Or do you want it the harsh, get the truth on the table and let's go away?
Kind of just want to get it. The emotional stuff is wreaking havoc, and I know that it's bullshit. I know that I'm doing it to myself.
Yes.
And I'm pulling more stuff in and around me to create more.
Yes.
And I would like to be able to just move through it without all the trauma, drama, stories.
Okay. Now here's how. Here, okay. So let's go the gentle way. Sounds like we should go the gentle way. Okay. Now, which is this? You need to know that you don't know what is the right day or hour and minute for that animal. You don't know. It's beyond you to know. This is the decision that needs to be made for you, through you. So you will step back. You will close your eyes in meditation. And you will say, Holy Spirit, I don't know what this is for and what this animal's life right now means. I don't know what one more day would mean for this animal. I don't know. And since I don't know, you got to be honest that you don't know. You can't be selfish in saying, well, I really think that every day is precious. Because the land says, no, some days are really suffering and they suck. And then, you know, we get into dementia and physical problem parts. We do put animals to sleep out of... I think we should do it for humans too, but that's a different discussion. And so you would need to access love in you. The call to love is being... You have a call to love here from that animal. Most importantly, what's really happening is Bridget is calling for love. A call to love for you so that you can do this thing which you know you're going to do in peace. You need permission from love to do this job. So go get it. Don't make it up. You go into meditation and you will ask if it's okay. Ask love. Ask the Holy Spirit. Your answer will come strong and certain. It'll be gently overwhelming when the answer comes, and this will give you the assurance that you need. The ego wants to make you guilty. The ego wants to make you lose something. But when you access the Holy Spirit, it's all a gift. And this is what it'll feel like, the answer. Yep. Admit you don't know, and it'll turn it over.
Good. When I had to put my cat to sleep, the thing that made it easy was that he started seizing and stuff. But you know, to me, it's the cat's not dying; it's the body.
Yeah,
it's going to get rid of the body.
Yeah,
it can't be worse than he's going through. It's going to be a lot better.
Uh huh.
When he leaves, it was a breeze, basically,
and better for you too.
Yeah, it was time. It was time.
Back and forth, which brings back to another point I wanted to bring up. Which is, we touched this briefly about 2 years ago with Julie. And it was, as we start to do our spiritual work, we start to look at a higher truth and a better way to do everything. And then we get this lower truth and this worse way to do everything. And when we get practical, we do what the term that Julie and I came up with, was we go to one side, and we jump to the idea of the spirit and jump back to the way of the ego and jump back to the spirit and wish it was different, but the ego says, I can't, but I really wish I could. And then we call this oscillating. Back and forth, back and forth. Just chaotic. Your mind goes a great thought and a horrible thought, and all in the same breath. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Oh my God, horrible. What's more natural is you slow down the oscillation and you vacillate. This is natural. Where you will go to page 298 and admit that you don't know what's right for that animal. And you read through that and ask the Holy Spirit to help you make the decision. And then you'll go deal with your husband who has these other ideas. And you've got to talk it out. And you might have to be practical about, well, when or who, or should I do it, or should you do it, or maybe we just wait for a week and then see if it all clears up.
Well, doesn't the course itself, the lessons, as you do them, and your mind becomes more trained,
yep,
as to, you know, the precepts and your function as a person learning the course, allow you to really make unnecessary these big changes that occur with your ego?
Yep. because we stop investing in the ego's waves. And that's when the oscillation, the oscillation is so quick, you start getting confused. You can't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you get the ego and the Holy Spirit confused. But you vacillate, allow yourself to invest the ego for a while, and then really put the ego down, which is what I'm asking you to do. And actually go into meditation and say, I don't know. The ego doesn't know. It never did. And yet, I have to make this decision. I would like to do it with love. What would love do? That's moving back over to the embrace, the bigger picture, getting above the battleground, another way we describe this. And you see the pros and cons, and you just let them be apart. And you say, I don't know. Please fill me with love's knowledge, with love's idea of what I should do. And then go quiet and really don't know for just a few moments. That's all it takes. As you're practicing, it may take longer, but really don't know. Try really not knowing. When you can afford yourself to really not know, you'll find some of the best peaceful breaths you've ever taken. Why? Because those three words, I don't know, may be the only truly honest things your lips ever speak.
Well, it makes there not be anything to defend either, right? If you don't know anything, you're not attached to something. There's nothing you don't know.
Yes.
Touching
beautiful
outcome.
Beautiful. What a release. Which is kind of what you're going at. Holy Spirit, your problem. I don't know. Yes.
If you want me to do something, tell me.
That's right. And if you do something wrong, you did something wrong because you didn't know. Now you're off the hook. You're innocent. Well, I knew I didn't know, but I tried anyway. But I didn't know, and I knew I didn't know, and I still did it. That's okay.
Well, that was the other part, was to surrender to, so I'm wrong.
So I'm wrong. I couldn't have known.
Everyone's going, well, what about this? What about that? And it's like, well, so I'm wrong.
And yeah, that's right.
Well, so as soon as you think you know, then you are invested in the outcome. And the more invested you get in the outcome, the more intense everything around that becomes.
Yes.
Because you've got to make it happen.
In Buddhism, they call that attachment, misery, and the whole reason of life suffering is investing in the outcome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I appreciate what you said with Bridget about being like getting really honest, like put the ego down, because I think that there's a not knowing in the world too, which is, should I do this or should I do that? Should I do that? I don't know. But it's not getting quiet. It's not stepping back completely from an outcome. And I mean, I certainly am experiencing that in my life. And so that just makes sense that there needs to be like a disconnect, or what you were saying to David about like you're too close, step back.
Yes. Yes.
Because I can say all I want, I can say as many times as I want, I don't know in ego terms, but like I still in ego feel like I have the ability to control this. I will find the answer. Yes. I will.
Yes.
You know. So that true surrender is another story.
Yes.
And the ego is very resistant
sometimes. It does not want to hear. The last thing the ego wants to hear is, I don't know. And I might get walked on, doormatted, boot print in the back of my head, completely fail. But I don't know. So...
It must be more accurate to say, I can't know.
Yeah, you can say I can't know. Absolutely.
I don't like that.
You know what? I know, I'm just saying, well, yeah, those fighting words. And the Course in Miracles is a little more gentle. But Matt, if you're up to that, I'll show you where it supports that, okay? Everybody turn to page 298. Paragraph 7, sentence 1. This is for Matt. And then this is for Bridget to make a note, too. Because it happens to be the same page where you're going to go, but you're going to read the paragraph in front of it. Well, actually, it's 298. Well, unless I'm Alzheimer's is setting in, you're going to have to get me a... No, it's 298. Okay. Paragraph 7. Matt, here's why you can't know. Okay?
You can use this can't in there.
Go ahead and read it for me. It does, doesn't it? I forgot.
You cannot be your guide to miracles.
Why not?
for it is you who made them necessary.
Oh. You're the problem! You're not solving it. You're the whole reason we need to solve it. The whole idea that you are this great, wise being is the problem. You're a figure in a dream. That's all. The real you is the dreamer. So you, the figure that you know now, can't possibly know. Nice.
Good. You ready for that? That's good.
Keep going.
No, that's good. That's the key sentence. Okay. It's a great paragraph. Yeah. But we're going to get back to tonight's reading, which we haven't started yet. Page 429. Let's tie this all together. Page 429, paragraph 1. And remember, when the Course of Miracles uses the word sin, it actually just means separation. It's pointing to the whole concept, the belief, separation is actually successfully happened. And you, somehow, whatever you are, you're not connected to oneness.
Has anyone tried translating the book using the different terms?
It would be 4,000 pages if they did. Nobody's tried. Yeah. Actually, people have tried. They've tried to do it with fewer pages. Translate the words and do... There's one called the 5-Minute Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it an app?
I tried to make a pill. I've concocted a pill. It's on the shelf.
Or a spray. Or it was a pill.
I got a pill up there in a bottle. Anybody who hasn't tried them, I got it called the forgiveness pill. Why do all the lessons you just take Andrew's miracle pills that I made in my own garage?
They're called placebos.
They're actually M&Ms. Yeah. But the label's really powerful. All right. Let's... are we up to... But hold on.
It's an L.
It's an L?
It's an I.
And then an I? Linda.
Did it. Yes.
Got it.
Oh. Linda, would you read for us paragraph 1 on page 429?
The belief in sin is an adjustment, and an adjustment is a change, a shift in perception, or a belief that what was so before has been made different. Every adjustment is therefore a distortion and calls upon defenses to uphold it against reality. Knowledge requires no adjustments and, in fact, is lost if any shift or change is undertaken. For this reduces it at once to mere perception, a way of looking in, which certainly is lost and doubt has entered. To this impaired condition are adjustments necessary, because it is not true. Who need adjust to truth, which calls on only what he is to understand?
In other words, the story wraps another layer around your situation, and further are you losing what's really going on. The story of you doing the wrong thing for that animal has just clouded the whole thing. And it's made suffering. Yeah. You know what? We can read the next paragraph too. Bridget, would you? Hmm.
Adjustments of any kind are of the ego.
Storytelling is of the ego. Trying to make sense of stuff by filling in things you don't know. And making judgments about other people or you or a situation that are fabrications. Yep. Please continue.
For it is the ego's fixed belief that all relationships depend upon adjustments to make of them what it would have them be.
So you want the most loving thing, you want to have you do the most loving possible thing with that animal. You want you to do the perfect thing with that animal. And your ego would require you to be perfect in order for you to have any happiness over the ending of that life. Even if the animal dies on its own while you're driving home tonight, should I have taken that misery yesterday so it doesn't die naturally? Ah, you know, there's no escape. So you gotta watch these stories. This is yours. Gotta watch these stories. Okay, please continue.
Direct relationships in which there are no interferences are always seen as dangerous.
Okay, now that's a huge sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can.
You don't know, that's good. See, way to see it.
You see, direct relationships are a holy relationship or a return to right mind where you could actually share thoughts rather than teach each other, teach and learn and argue. And okay, a direct relationship is a relationship where communication is natural and it's not something you can actually do with bodies, with this special relationship, because there's a lot of competition going on. As you awaken back to spirit and you shed the differences that we're so wed to in these bodies, you find that you communicate without words. Not here. This is, we got to use medium here. We got to use symbols of symbols. And that's just for me to say one word. I got an idea what I want to say. I'll put it in a word. Then I'll say that word. That's a symbol, right? The idea what I had was a symbol. And now I've transmitted it to you. You grab it. It means something different to you. And now you got a symbol and a symbol. Boy, that's hard to communicate. That's indirect communication. That's what we have here. Now, because of what you actually are in truth, you are an extension of God. Whatever God is, you're that. You're an extension of that. You're a child of God. Whatever that is, that's what you really are. If oneness is true, you're still connected to the oneness. So you are that which came from all. That means you're still connected. So direct communication is when you would learn how no longer to be sleeping and dreaming your body, to awaken as an extension of God, and communication is instant. There's still communication, which is a good news for all you people who are so afraid of being awake and enlightened because it would be so peaceful you'll be bored. Don't worry about that.
That's not my fear.
Good.
My fear is, if we're all one, are we going to communicate at all? Which means I've lost them.
Now I'm telling you, yeah. And I'm telling you that you haven't been unable to communicate until then. It's been a real struggle.
Yeah, right.
And it's been dishonest in a lot of ways. Misunderstood and dishonest. That will end. And it'll be honest communications from heart to heart, from love to love. I'll show you where the Course says that if we have time tonight. It's really beautiful, a couple of paragraphs. Okay. Please continue.
The ego is the self-appointed mediator of all relationships, making whatever adjustments it deems necessary and interposing them.
Stories.
Stories. Them between those who would meet to keep them separate and prevent their union.
That person's too tall, too short, too fat, too rich, too poor, too ugly, too something. I can't possibly love them. They got the wrong political thing. You know who they voted for? I found out who they voted for, and now I can't love them. Stories, please continue.
It is this studied interference that makes it difficult for you to recognize your holy relationship for what it is.
No doubt.
When it says studied interference, meaning that we're literally teaching ourselves, like each time we reinforce these stories.
And we practice the stories. We practice how, unless you vote a certain way, you're really not conscious. Mm-hmm. And you're not being responsible. We study that. Mm-hmm. And we learn it. We teach it to ourselves, and then we go out and make decisions in the world with it. Mm-hmm. That's what it means. Yeah. Oh, and we're good. We all know right from wrong, don't we?
Not anymore.
We know what a good person is or not. I mean, if they drive a Prius, that's a good start, right? Isn't that good, Prius?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a good start.
Really? Okay, all right. Look what she's doing for the planet, everybody. For sure.
Just stay in the right side of the road.
Unfortunately, any move... Unfortunately, I'm stuck. I don't move.
Isn't that what you said, Julie, earlier? Interference?
Yeah.
The ego creates the interference.
And it masters the interferences that make separate people out, people I like and people I don't like, so that I can be safe. Watch out for these stories.
It creates judgment based on fear.
Yes, it's all based on fear to separate, you bet. Yeah, and so what these are, these this is adjustments to the world to make ourselves happy. Only be with a vegetarian because they respect the right for an animal to live. Some story, right? But that's a us and a them kind of thing right there. Okay. Now, can we continue? Do we have to dig into that?
People who drive huge pickup trucks and tailgate you aren't assholes.
Did I tailgate you also?
That was me.
Oh, okay.
That's what I want to be when I grow up.
A tailgater.
Drive a big truck and be an apple.
Yeah. That's a good country sound to me.
Yeah.
Right, that's pretty good. I think we can continue. You ready, Julie?
Oh, sure. Oh, I have a question mark here, so clearly this was a difficult paragraph. Okay. The holy do not interfere with truth. They are not afraid of it, for it is within the truth they recognize their holiness and rejoin at what they see.
They rejoice.
Mm-hmm. Rejoice. They look on it directly without attempting to adjust themselves to it or it to them. And so they see that it was in them, not deciding first where they would have it be.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking merely ask the question, and it is what they see that answers them.
Mm-hmm.
You make the world and then adjust to it, and it to you. Nor is there any difference between yourself and it in your perception, which made them both. Okay, I had a question here because there's like 20 its,
yes.
And I get lost. So.
Okay, great. But and before we answer that, this answer is just a nice place we could for Luann, where Jesus is hinting at what it means to have direct communication. It's a beautiful description here. Okay? Do I even communicate, she said. I'm afraid that I will lose my loved ones if I don't get to interact with them. Check out sentence 4. And so, actually 3. I'm going to change they for Luann. Luann, who has gone to heaven and is reintegrated into oneness, she looks now on creation directly without attempting to adjust herself to it or creation to her. And so Luann sees that what she is now witnessing was in her. Not deciding first where she would have it be for her convenience, but she just recognizes self for self. Love communicates through love. Big pause for the delivery of the punchline. As love. To love, for love. Here, we communicate as separate beings, hiding a little bit of ugliness, trying to show some beauty so that we can deserve love and get love. And then maybe, if you're good enough, you get, and I give myself permission, I'll love you back. Maybe. We'll see. I don't want to rush things. Totally indirect. In truth, as you return, you go back to heaven and you interact, you will understand that you are communicating love to love, and you will recognize self. You must also appreciate that creation is not static. Like the sun is constantly growing. The edge of the sun has already blown past the earth, so we don't actually know how big the sun is. do we? We just see this ball out there, and we're bathed in its light, and we look at how the surface is lit by this ever-growing... But the sun's beams 4 billion years ago are out way, way... It's a much bigger ball than you think. Right? So creation is that way. And for you to understand and for you to interact with all forms of love, you will be making more love as you do it. Because the connection is love. And there's now between you and another aspect of love, there's more love. Because, watch this now. This is the law of love. As you give, you receive. And love gives and only gives. And so this is an interaction you can't speak of here, where everything is so limited and misunderstood and symbols of symbols. But same, noticing yourself as same, makes more of the same, bigger. And it create love is a creation, and it creates with itself.
In an eternally exponential way.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
To be technical.
And even here, so where did we, were we mid paragraph? Did we finish the paragraph? Julie, did we finish the paragraph?
We finished it.
All right. So now let's take a moment. Let's take a moment and jump to lesson 155.
Are we coming back to sin as an adjustment?
We won't have time, so you can drop here.
Yeah. I just want to say one more thing. What you just said, love communicates to love as love.
Yes.
Therefore, recognizing self. Isn't that the key to oneness?
Yes, it is.
Because, like, when I get that, I yes. know what oneness is.
And you'll be so hungry for more oneness, because it will finally answer the call of your heart. This has been a huge, frustrating adventure for the heart. The mind's had a great time inventing the ego and trying to have more than everything.
It's neat. When I'm crying out for love,
yes,
this is what I'm wanting.
Yes. It is. You want what you are. Yeah. That's why Jesus is so confident in this book. This book is written with such authority, saying... You know what? It even says one place, it says, you know what? If you're not ready to face the truth will wait for you. Holy Spirit, just wait until you are.
Okay. I had that in a meditation once of realizing, like, this deep yearning I have to lift the veil and return to what I am.
Yes.
Like, it's this yearning, and it almost produces, like, a sadness because I know that I'm blocking that. Yes. But to then also feel... the self, God, right?
Yes.
The self that I am, yeah. Like wanting with equal yearning for me to have that, for me to know that, to remember that.
Yes.
It's like
yes.
it is within me. Yes. I can give it to myself.
Yes.
But to realize that as much as I, you know, want to cry out with this yearning, there's my true self there just saying it's right here, and I want you to have it just as much as you want to have it.
Yes.
Like just as much, if not more, yes. right?
And in that moment, the two yearnings will now be love reaching for love mm-hmm. as love, and a new creation is born. Absolutely happens. But it happens when it happens as love would happen. Mm-hmm. And it's what's going to make it just more wonderful as you go along. And then when you get the confidence that you are love, reaching for love, mm-hmm. it cannot fail. And in fact, you start to feel it's already succeeded. Mm-hmm. And this will change your outlook on existence.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know it's there.
Yes.
All you have to do is step off the cliff.
Right? It's like that. It's like that.
Easy peasy.
Yeah, just step off the cliff.
Just step off the cliff and love is there.
And, you know, there is a paragraph, I don't know where it
faith.
Is. A leap of faith. Mm-hmm. There's a paragraph in the book, I don't know where it is, but it says, when you do make this decision for for God, for oneness. You really do? You really do? It said it has uses angels and said heaven and all the angels will lean in to assist you. But until then, you don't believe any of that exists. It's you against the world. You're just going to suffer in your little body, trying to have one more happy day.
I think there's levels of that, aren't there? Because I think we do this over and over again.
Yeah, you certainly can. You can deny. You'll make an advancement, and you will have a little awakening later. And then you'll prefer to vacillate back over to smallness because you're so comfortable with it. And it's a habit that will, unless you are vigilant, it will just, the ego will reenact. However, there's a little memory that's been ignited in your existence, the forgotten song, the beautiful, beautiful tune that you love so much, started to re-enter your mind. Mm-hmm. And you're awakening. It is an awakening, the awakening. But is an awakening. But you're right. You can just prefer to do a little more. But you really can't go back. Thank God.
That's a relief.
Isn't it a relief? Well, let's read about how it can unfold here. In your body, as you awaken. It's kind of sweet. Hmm. Lesson 155 in the workbook. Anybody there yet? What page is that? 291. This is so sweet. Are you ready for this, Kenny?
I've been working at it.
All right, bring it.
I will step back and let him lead the way. There is a way of living in the world that is not there.
Here.
Although
here.
Not here. Although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene, your eyes are quiet, and the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own. Yet those who have not yet perceived the way which recognize you also and believe that you are like them as you were before.
So, Kim, will you read that back to us? This is worth reading twice.
There is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be.
Okay, and this is in the workbook, page 291. In the back of the, you flip 500 pages to the right.
Oh, back here.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
If he would just call them lessons, it would be so much easier.
Oh, maybe.
I was just lost for a minute.
I haven't found it yet.
Okay,
let's start again.
There is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance, though you smile more frequently. Your forehead is serene, your eyes are quiet. And the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own. Yet those who have not yet perceived the way will recognize you also and believe that you are like them as you were before.
Okay, so let's look at these last few sentences. And the ones who walk the world as you do, as you awaken, you go to your right mind, and you start to have what the Course calls Christ vision.
On the path.
You're on the path, your eyes are open, you see others as the same as you. You start to see their essence instead of, you know, their differences. You see the sameness. This is starting to happen to you. That happens as you waken up. Okay? They recognize you. They say, here's somebody who sees, you know, it's namaste, right? The light in me sees the light in you, which is the light in me. You start to see the sameness, okay? That is sentence 4. Sentence 5, yet those who have not yet perceived the way will recognize you also in the belief that you are like them, which is afraid, guilty, backstabbing, conniving, ego-filled. as you were before, because you were backstabbing, afraid, conniving, ego-filled. Were you? But as you awaken, you're still living in the world, handling your affairs as a body. And the ones who are also awakening will recognize you as aware. And the ones who are not aware will recognize you as just the same old son of a bitch as they are. Right? Mm-hmm. And I forget who said it. Anthony DeMello, one of my favorite enlightened guys, he says, I'm an ass. You're an ass too.
I like him already.
Yeah, he was just, yeah, he was a funny guy.
So what that really means is, for us,
yeah,
I'm assuming for all of us, maybe a bad assumption, for us, we can have moments of awakening, and that doesn't mean we're not going to be attacked by other people. And we just have to know that that's what they're doing. We don't need to do it back.
You don't need to do it back. It just make you an attacker and you'll be miserable.
Yeah.
If you have to take them to court, don't do it with attack in mind. If you have to curl your fist and punch them in the face, don't do it with attack in mind.
What ever happened to forgiveness, Andrew?
What does that mean?
You should know.
You see, in the world, there is power and there's force. And don't kid yourself, okay? Don't think that because you study Course in Miracles, you can suddenly walk on water and nothing bad will ever happen to you. There are times in this world, so that you can continue to do your awakening, that you need to do things like take pills, do magic stuff. Take pills, or maybe you may have to get in a fight. It may happen. What you forgive is the attack. There's no sin going on here. There's no evil going on here. You may actually have to protect yourself in this world, take care of your body. Do so without fear. This is what forgiveness has to do for you, is take out the attack. Attack is where the ego runs the game. And now it's just one dream figure punching another dream figure. But it's not if there's attack in there. Now there's sin.
There's guilt.
There's guilt to go around, and you deserve to be punished for doing something evil. Our Course in Miracles work has to free your mind. You're still going to live in a body. We have to be able to do is live without guilt, fear, attack, separation. Now you're free. Now you're free to come or go. But if you just try to leave this world and fear is still in your mind, you will be back. Because you're holding on to the world trying to take it with you. It won't work. That's why I urge everybody, do these workbook lessons, do the Course in Miracles best you can, and lighten up.
Okay, lighten up.
Understand that you are dreaming a dream in which you've made a piece of the dream for yourself. And it's not real.
So, yeah, so who's afraid of a dream, really?
Who's afraid of a dream? It's just a bunch of thoughts. It's a story. It's a story. Well, let's read a little more before then. We only have 5 minutes. Let's catch a little more of this beautiful...
I have a question because I just brought up when you're talking. Because I get where I've been able to do that, where you have to attack somebody and then help them back up again or whatever.
Right.
But the thing that... There's other people that can't... Like, unless I'm going to try to explain this to somebody, I cannot explain it to anybody.
Yeah.
And some people just... That anger they have to have, you know, if you're fighting, it's like they can't. How would you explain to somebody that concept, sometimes they just can't. To them, if you're mad, you have to be angry and you have to have all this fight.
Yes.
To not be able to do that, to me, it seems kind of natural now, but.
Yes.
I could never explain that to somebody.
Yes. It's on page 67.
67?
Yeah. Okay,
good.
Yeah. And,
Okay, basically, that's. The feeling of separation from that person when you go at them from an attack point of view versus protection of yourself point of view.
Yeah, there were a tantrum had happened and they got out of sorts and they felt scared. And what you did is you simply took the scissors away from the running child. There are times when you do that. I guess we can go there real quick. Because it's been so long since we've been there. Good Lord.
What?
67.
Okay.
Actually, it's 57. Sorry about that. 57, paragraph 5. This is really great. I mean, this is such a great paragraph. Oh.
This is in the text, right?
This is in the text, thank you. Yes. Yeah, this is such a great section. Okay, paragraph 5. Matt, would you read for us paragraph 5?
Sure. Undermining the ego's thought system must be perceived as painful, even though this is anything but true.
The ego's thought system, right? You're up against somebody who wants to get at you and take a swing at you. Go ahead.
Babies scream in rage if you take away a knife or scissors, although they may well harm themselves if you do not. In this sense, you are still a baby. You have no real sense of self-preservation and are likely to decide that you need precisely what would hurt you most. Yet whether or not you recognize it now, you have agreed to cooperate in the effort to become both harmless and helpful, attributes that must go together. Your attitudes, even towards this, are necessarily conflicted because all attitudes are ego-based. This will not last. Be patient a while and remember that the outcome is as certain as God.
Just like that. Yeah. So, it is, you appreciate that the person who is speaking to you, that Jesus is kind of speaking down to you now at this point, and the idea of false autonomy, that you know what's best for you. And now that's how you see another person. And there's a miracle principle that says, miracles are enacted by those who temporarily have more for those who temporarily have less. So in that situation, you had a little more wits about you. Because you're just like an adult in front of a teenager. And the adult has to take over sometimes. Not out of attack. It's out of love. Doing the right thing. It was the best thing for everybody at the moment. Yeah. So that's support. It's, sanity shows up. But if we can, let's just read another paragraph in Lesson 155, page 291, in the workbook. I just want you to hear this. So first we have paragraph 1, there's a way of living in the world where you smile a little more. And those who are peacing out, starting to get the bigger picture, they recognize other people who are getting the bigger picture. And the people who are not getting the bigger picture still think you're an asshole. Okay? Alright, now, paragraph 2.
The world is an illusion. Those who choose to come to it are seeking for a place where they can be illusions and avoid their own reality. Yet when they find their own reality is even here, then they step back and let it lead the way. What other choice is there really to make? To let illusions walk ahead of truth is madness, but to let illusions sink behind the truth, and let the truth stand forth as what it is merely sanity.
So there is a better way. It's a natural, the force of love, of truth, it will surface. People come here to be separate. Minds, fragments of minds, come here to be separate. They, as they seek for love, because you always seek for love, you could only rest with truth, and you always want some rest after a while. And the truth is love, is the only place you can rest. So you will seek love. You will find that you yourself only want to give and receive love. And there are barriers here to that, which is what this just said. You'll find out that you're, even though you came here to escape the awareness, the big oneness, for all these twisted reasons, you'll find still the oneness is still here. The call to love is still even here in this dream as it starts to fall apart. And love calls even stronger. I mean, let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. And please recognize that if you're ever unhappy, check out the story you're telling yourself. Check out this whole story you're weaving that's making your life difficult. And just put it down. Step back. And let the Holy Spirit look at it for you. and make the decision for you, then you follow what you feel. It won't be words necessarily. I mean, it might be. For most people, it's a feeling, a very strong feeling. It's a little gently overwhelming, but very gentle, very gentle, and yet bigger than you. This is a story you want to listen to, because it's a story of joining with the situation as it is, rather than you making up some adjustment to make everything make sense, which is just another lie. It means you'll be getting very present and getting very simple, and then everything falls back in place. Thank you, amen.
Thank you.
Ego busters. Yes.
Anonymous.
Yeah, right. Ego's Anonymous. Another meeting of EA.